And that's podcast audio going. And that's Facebook Live audio and video going. The Facebook Live will be downloaded and re-uploaded to the YouTube. The Black Podcast on the YouTubes. You can go there and you can fucking sign up, and it's really fun. Like, when you sign up, you'll be like, oh man, check out how neat that is that I, like, fucking signed up and shit, man. I'm a fucking signer-upper of things. And then, like, and then after you sign up, and you'll get a notification, and when you see the notification, you'll say,
oh, cool, I love stupid bullshit like this.
That is exactly what you'll say. And then when you get the notification, you'll have a notification of
Negroes doing Negro stuff. When we're not on the show, Father Teresa yells at me. This show is so black that Father Teresa makes me get a tan before I go on the show.
These are the fact-based realities. What is happening there? Ah, okay. I see. Oh, you're not sure, are you?
Not really, no.
Fine.
Now, sisters and brothers, we know we got over by the blood, the sweat, and the tears of sheroes and heroes, some whose names we know and some whose names we do not know. But I'm going to tell you something. We have been here before. Now, the only difference is we got some company, Rev. We got our gay lesbian sisters and brothers with us this time. We got our Hispanic, Asian, Native American sisters and brothers with us this time. I think Dr. Reverend Martin Luther King said we may not have gotten here on the same ship, but we are in the same boat right now.
In Father Teresa's Wine Cellar, we believe all oppression is intersectional. And this means our analysis of current events frequently includes discussion of difficult and explicit content. Any combination of the following topics could be included in our show: murder, rape, war, climate change, racism, sexism, violence, sexual violence, homophobic violence, heterocentrism, discrimination and abuse against individuals of nonconformist sexuality, domestic violence, child abuse, child rape, child neglect, elderly abuse, verbal abuse, police brutality, microaggressions, ableism, cyberbullying, genital mutilation, ideological extremism, and people just being total fucking assholes.
Oh, cool. I love stupid bullshit like this.
This show is fucked up.
Alright. WineCellarMedia.com. PayPal.me/PhoenixAndWilliam. Patreon.com/WineCellarMediaFund. Phoenix Collider, follow Phoenix Collider on the Twitters at Uppity Negress. Two P's, two T's, two S's. You don't want to flex with or try to test this, and you will never guess this, Father Muckers. At William J. Jack on the Twitters, follow if you want to be unenthused. All right, this is Reading in the Shade with Phoenix Collider. Or
at Wine Cellar Media.
Yeah, at Wine Cellar Media. We fucking got it fixed. So now the Twitter matches the podcast, dadgummit. Mm-hmm. All right? So the Twitter is at Wine Cellar Media, and the, like, name in the bold letters is The Black Podcast. That's how you know you can find some top shelf Niganometry. Alright? That's that arithmetic you weren't ready for, fuckface. I need to save palette.
Yeah, save the palette.
But this is Reading in the Shade with Phoenix Kaleeter. All right, Phoenix Kaleeter is going to be doing a great deal more of the riffing and raffing. And because my brain is fried, I'm trying to get promoted. I'm working with 3 different departments. I don't know what the fuck I'm doing. I need more money dollars in this dadgummit household. And I don't know what's happening. So it's Phoenix Kaleeter. She has 3 stories.
3.
White on white crime.
Yes.
Immigration.
Yes.
And another one.
Hashtag good cops.
Good cops. All right.
Hashtag abolish ICE.
Let's figure that one out.
Yeah. All right. So I guess we'll just do some quick headlines. Remember, I think we've covered it a few times on the podcast. I know we've riffed about it personally. You know how they shut down all those schools, the public schools in Chicago?
Yes.
A bunch of them have now been redone as upscale condos. Hey, gentrifying the kids out of schools. Fan-fucking-tastic.
Fuck, so actual school buildings are now
becoming high-priced condos that the residents can't afford, so rich white people can gentrify not only their schools, but their neighborhoods.
Yep.
It's awesome.
So where the fuck are all the black people going to... I guess, well, they have a housing project down nearby where we live.
Yeah. Yep. I mean, it's just, and of course, you know, then, you know, I've talked about it, but then violence rates go up because, you know, when you... make people aggressively move out of a neighborhood suddenly. They have to move into another poor neighborhood, and resources that were already allocated now have to be fought over again. And so, you know, turf wars and shit like that. But, you know, fuck it. It's just black people being violent for no apparent reason. Gentrification and over-policing has nothing to do with it. You should know that. Let's see. Oh, actual legitimate good news. Jessica Drake, one of my favorite porn performers. Awesome, awesome person. And Team Wicked, which is the company she works for, did a AIDS walk in Los Angeles. They've done one every year since 2012. And this year they raised $106,000. It's kind of fun. It's kind of cool, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's awesome. So, basically, it was adult stars, sex workers, and advocates who walked downtown in Grand Park. Drake said the amount of money was mind-blowing, and that leading Team Wicked on the AIDS walk has become one of her passions. HIV and AIDS research is a cause close to my heart. Doing this walk as a team not only raises money, it raises awareness. So, good job, Jessica Drake. You're awesome. Yeah. And, Europe. I know we talked about it on a few days ago on our show. In America, there's a measles outbreak. Apparently, in Europe, there's also a measles outbreak. Maybe vaccinate your fucking kids. How about that? 41,000 people have been infected so far this year in Europe, and there have been 37 deaths. 41,000 people. That's a lot of fucking people, man. That's a lot of fucking people. Yeah.
There's a lot of... You don't even know what to say.
Because, you know, it's because, like, we have vaccines and this shit is supposed to be basically eradicated. And we're like, oh, hey, 40,000 cases. What? But, like, 2 years ago, there was only 5,000 cases. So in 2 years, they went from 5,000 cases to 41,000 cases. Like, what the fuck kind of Darwin Award are you people trying to win? Like, what?
To teach the kids that are still alive how to do math. Times 8, Timmy.
Times 8, Timmy. That is one way to learn your multiplication tables. Vaccinate your fucking kids. I thought we were past this in 2018. Obviously, we're fucking not. So, vaccinate your goddamn kids. Yeah. And of course, if you want to look any of those stories up on Facebook, do so. Feel free to laugh at people in the comments who don't understand herd immunity as a concept. It's funny. And then, let's see. If you follow, Talcum X, what's his name? Sean...
Yeah, folks really don't like that high yeller feller.
They don't. You know why? It's because he steals other people's work. That's why they don't like him.
Who is he jacking?
Oh, a lot of black women.
Names. Like
I don't know their names.
Dadgummit.
Man.
You know the wine cellar names.
I know, but no, because I've never actually... Like, I've seen somebody be like, I reported this story first, and then he took my tweet and reformatted it, and he got all the clicks, like that kind of shit. Anyways, Sean King, right? King?
Yeah.
Yeah, if you follow him on Twitter, he was recently posting about a young black girl who got expelled from her school in Louisiana for having braids. Interestingly enough, if you go to the school's website, they have pictures of their black students with braids. What? I don't know. It's weird. I guess you're only allowed to wear braids on a photo op day or something. I don't know.
Photo op day.
Photo op day. And if you want to just...
be enraged, you can look at the RBS, which is the Royal Bank of Scotland. A cache of emails has been released where employees at that bank in before the 2008 market crash laughed about the loans they were trading as total fucking garbage and knew that they were going to crash the United States economy, and they thought it was really fucking funny.
Let's take a look here.
Yes.
You may have seen the video floating around Instagram. This is a parent of a student from Christ the King Elementary School. And, she was sent home because of what she said was her hairstyle, right?
Yeah, and we won't show the video because it is of the young lady crying, but the little girl has extensions in her hair. And we reached out to Christ the King School and to see what was going on. They directed us to the Archdiocese. The Archdiocese did send us a response saying that New Orleans schools develop policies appropriate for their respective schools. Christ the King Elementary School has a policy that states, boys and girls, only the student's natural hair is permitted. The policy was communicated to all parents during the summer and again before the first day of school and was applied to all students. Furthermore, the school leadership worked with families to ensure compliance. We remain committed to being a welcoming school, celebrates our unity and diversity.
Because I have a couple things.
Yeah. But well, it's a slippery slope for any administration to tackle hair issues because they're so closely tied to culture.
Right. That's what my first issue is, that how does one...
Wait, tied to culture? Nigga, tied to nature.
I mean, that's the thing. Is they was like, wear your natural hair. But you know damn well she came with an afro. They'd be like, absolutely not. Right?
Which is natural.
Which is natural. So you don't actually mean natural. You mean fucking fried. You mean pressed. You mean in some sort of style that makes you feel good about yourself and white beauty standards. You don't actually fucking mean natural.
Yeah, this nigga said culture. Yeah, black people's culture is to... What the fuck?
Your culture affects your hair pattern. Shut up, William.
Person get to decide what is considered.
So Jews are actually black. That's why.
That's why
the Holocaust.
That's why they're not white.
They saw those afros. They said, "You fucking pale faced niggers, we gotta get you."
Yeah.
They're normal or extreme or extensions or like who? How do you know this? That's my number one question.
Right.
Is for you to you have one person making that judgment on something
or one board
or one
group
board
of people,
or whatever.
Right?
Second, the from what we did hear was that last week she came to school like apparently, and they sent a note home saying she has to fix her hair. And she went to the hairdresser and fixed it, but then came back today
and then said it still wasn't in compliance.
But what the fuck is fixed it? What it wasn't
what was
broken.
Wrong with it? Right.
Yeah, it was too nigger.
Clients. Again, yeah. I did see the video. Her hair is pulled back. It's in braids. I don't see a problem. It's not affecting, or you can't get around if she's sitting in class.
There's no question if you send the child home that that's not necessarily helping her ability to learn. You know what I'm saying? And
like,
if that's what this is about in the end, then what are we doing to help a student learn?
Right.
Certainly, every school has their policies. My daughter goes to an archdiocese school. They can't wear different colors that aren't natural, brown or black or whatever. So you can't come with, you know, pink braids or green braids or whatever the story is. Mm-hmm. But, you know, cutting the line at just natural hair, how does one determine?
How do you know? Do you think I have extensions in my hair? How can you tell? Like, my point is, I'm a mom that struggles with, my daughter has beautiful curls, and it's a struggle every morning, and I wish I could throw some braids in her hair and be done for, like, a week and not worry about it.
Yeah.
So, it's one of those things where it's an ongoing conversation. I just don't understand how.
I don't think we've heard the end of this.
Right.
Which, that's actually a valid point, is how do they know that she had extensions in her hair? Because it was a bunch of white school administrators, and her hair was in braids. Like, I would be curious to know.
They're just white supremacists that wanted to abuse a black girl.
Basically.
Yeah, it's nothing more than that. Like, there is no conversation. It's five centuries of them doing what the fuck they wanna do. I know you had more shit you wanted to get to.
Yeah, no, that's fine. No, that's good. No, I was just gonna say this, Royal Bank of Scotland, in the emails, they were just basically making fun of ruining the U.S. economy. What the head trader received an email from a friend who said, "I'm sure your parents never imagined they'd raise a son who would destroy the housing market on the richest nation on the planet." And he emailed back and said, "I take exception to the word destroy. I'm more comfortable with severely damage." Like, so that's just where they're at as far as their level of sadism, apathy, however you want to call that.
Put some respect on my sadism.
Shit. So, that's available. You can read... all the emails if you would like to do that. We're coming to a culture where everything revolves around emails.
Which are old. Yeah. Emails are fucking old.
Yeah, but people didn't just used to rely on emails. Like, who the fuck is faxing anymore? Like, who's sending regular mail?
Right? Every fucking office you go into, every job, there's a fucking fax machine and they actually use it. Fuck you. I'm not pre-printing your email for you. Fuck you.
Yeah, we didn't. You know what? When we remodeled the office, we didn't even put in a fax machine. Like, we have a copy machine that is fax machine capable, but we didn't even fucking set that shit up.
Yeah, fuck that. And when we get a couple more money dollars in here, I want to get a goddamn Wi-Fi printer. Because the printer that we have is old, therefore huge.
Yes.
Like, imagine a TV before 2005, I think, was around when they all became flat.
Yeah.
Yeah, man. Like, that fax machine is... Not fax machine. Printer is a fucking bulky piece of fuck.
Yeah.
And those new little Wi-Fi ones, they're like fucking... They're like little laptops. They're like fucking Chromebooks.
Basically, yeah.
Yeah.
It's good. You can tell how... You can tell where your technology is. How small is it?
We were in the store and had to ask them what a Blu-ray player was.
We did.
That's a real thing that happened.
We did.
All right.
But we left with a Blu-ray player, so...
No, we didn't. We went and found one cheaper.
We did find one cheaper.
Yeah, we got a used one.
Whew. All right, we played the trigger warning, so I can just cover this. Michael Joslin, Amador County Highway Patrol officer from Northern California, has been arrested on suspicion of raping a 12-year-old girl. Detectives say that Joslin had been molesting the child for about a year before raping her. The Sacramento Bee reports Joslin was found in Placer County and arrested on suspicion of oral copulation with a minor under 14, lewd acts with a child under 14, rape, and other charges.
I want molestation to also be rape. Kill the word molestation unless you're that much of a fucking technocrat about language and you really mean molesting to be touching something, which is why there are signs in Florida that say don't molest the alligators, if you're really that technocratic about language. But as far as human on human, I want molesting to also be rape.
But you know what? Because what did we just fucking cover about that Catholic guy? About the, it's not rape if nobody got penetrated. This is a lie being perpetuated by the media to smear Catholic priests. They weren't raping kids. They were just molesting them.
See, so
they
were
groping them.
So he just disagrees with me on what the colloquialism should be. I think molesting should be raping. Kill the word molesting. Hashtag end molesting, which is... Don't hashtag that.
Let's think about that one a little bit more.
Yeah, figure that one out.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, fuck. I call all that shit rape.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's one syllable. Come on.
Yes. And while we're here, hashtag good cops. Border inspector, former ICE agent, faces felony cases in California for rape and assault. All right.
Uh-huh.
A former Homeland Security Investigations special agent. That's a lot of fucking title. Homeland Security Investigation Special Agent. All right. Raped a woman twice, sexually assaulted another, and told victims police would never believe them if they reported because of his law enforcement position. John Jacobs Olivas, age 43 of Riverside, California, was arrested Wednesday and pleaded not guilty in a U.S. District Court hearing the same afternoon. The crimes took place in 2012, according to the U.S. Attorney's Office in Los Angeles. A federal grand jury indictment alleges that Olivas, who resigned in 2015, oh, so is he collecting a fucking pension? I would like to know. Raped a victim twice in September 2012 and November 2012, and tried to rape another one in January of 2012.
What the fuck?
Yeah.
That's one hellified end of a sentence. And tried to rape another one.
Yeah.
Like, they just put another one. That's how much this dude rapes. We're not even putting names, just another one.
Yeah, that we know of.
Yeah.
Because he's raping immigrants at the border. Like, imagine how many people did not come forward with that story.
Yeah, this cat, Jesus Christ.
Yeah, we can shoot this one. I'm okay with it.
Yeah, yeah, shoot him or fucking, I mean, even if we went with Chris Rock's idea and bullets cost $5,000, I'll work the overtime.
Crowdfund that shit.
Yeah, we have an archive chat space on the facebook.com winecellarmedia.com.
Yes.
where Amy Loco said vaccinate your GD kids! !
Mm-hmm.
How difficult is the concept to keep? It eradicates diseases. Eradicated. Nah, it didn't. They were still hanging around.
Shit.
Diseases are like white men. They don't
just
go.
Can't get rid of them.
Or white men are like disease. I don't know. You pick. Funny but scary by Jay May. Lucifera Loco said, Amador County is right next to us.
Oh.
And this is the same county that let a child rapist go a couple of months ago.
God damn.
Right? And didn't we cover that story in Canada? Where they issued a warning
saying this guy is a serial rapist and he's not rehabilitated and we're letting him out, so be careful. And then he raped someone. Like, what?
Watch out. And
he raped someone. Okay, he was in prison for rape and then he raped someone else while he was still in prison.
He took two cis woman guards.
Yes.
Tied up one and made her watch him rape the other one, if I remember right.
Maybe.
That's the fucking guy.
That sounds right.
That may be on the We Need to Kill a Lot of People episode.
That might be.
Yeah.
Yeah, and then they're like, he's not rehabilitated, obviously, because he's still raping people in prison, but let's let him out. And lo and behold, you're not going to believe this, people. He got out and he raped someone.
And they say rehabilitated. How the fuck you Wait, let's just look at that. Re, that's the prefix.
Yes.
Right? So that's like do it again.
It meant you were okay at one point.
And then abilitate. Like, I hear like at the root of that is ability.
Mm-hmm.
Like, how the fuck are you rehabilitating a rapist? He's not hooked on rape. He didn't take one hit of rape and was at the corner every day waiting for the rape man to come with a $20 bag of rape. He's a rapist. He's an attacker. That's not a fucking substance.
It's not.
Yeah. Let's pay attention. Like George Carlin said, let's try to pay attention to the language that we're all using right now.
Yeah.
Jesus fucking Christ. Yeah. John Jacob Jingleheimer rape. Nigga, who said that? That's Jay May. Quit saying things like that. My shit. Fallon Loco, FallonKitty.com, said anti-vaxxers would rather their kids be fatally unvaccinated than risk autism.
Yeah.
Which, I don't believe it. These people that say, we gave him vaccine and then all of a sudden he's autistic. It's like, or you didn't teach him to read and then you're just calling that autistic. Like, what's your real fucking deal? Right? Yeah. I need to actually see this happen. I need to see offspring come out of a breeding hole, or as they call on what was that?
Front.
What website said it?
I forgot.
Everyday Feminism?
No, it was like health something.
Some health web. Oh yeah, because they wanted to be inclusive. They said let's call it the front hole. So I want to see offspring come out of a front hole, be declared. What is the opposite of autistic?
Not autistic.
Just not autistic. Declared. Not autistic, and then get vaccinated, and then go back to the doctors and be declared autistic. I want all of these steps to happen before I believe anybody making this fucking claim. And then even if this shit is true, like, so you want them dead?
I mean, that's the thing, is like, spend a day with an autistic child, and then spend a day with, you know, kids in iron lungs because they have polio. Just tell me. Which one you would like to have. What is your life experience? Do you want... And not only, like... And that's the thing, too, is, like, not only are your kids sick if you don't vaccinate them, they're literally looking at you like, you did this to me because you wouldn't let me get vaccinated. Like, do you want a child to have polio, measles, mumps, rubella, and look at you and being like, I'm sick and I'm going to die because you did this to me?
Yeah, get autistic. Like, you ever heard the Wine Cellar podcast? All these rapist cops we cover? Are those the fucking autistic people that we're fucking afraid of?
Oh, well, according to Alex Jones, autistic people are school shooters.
I was just about to say that, nigga. Are they autistic? Shut the fuck up, Jones. Nigga, is Alex Jones autistic? Is Paulie Wally Ryan Boy autistic? John Boner, the Boner Man, is he autistic? Carly Fiberina, Ben Carcinogen, Trumple Stiltskin, any of these niggas autistic? Autistic people aren't ruining the planet. Autistic people didn't ban straws. Nigga. That's the so-called normal people.
Yeah.
Fuck out of here.
Yeah.
I know you got more stories.
Yeah, well, I was gonna
I'm sitting here saying I'm not gonna say a lot.
I know. I was actually gonna finish this one, because I'm not done yet. So in addition to attempting to rape multiple people in 2012, he also faces 3 counts of deprivation of rights under the color of law and could face multiple life sentence if successfully prosecuted, according to the U.S. Attorney's Office. Meanwhile, he's free on bond, $50,000 bond. Don't you only have to post 10% of your bond to get out?
Yeah.
So he only had to put up $5,000?
That's very expensive for his salary.
He raped 2 people, tried to rape someone else, and... Oh, all right.
Okay, yeah, in rape culture, that's $5,000.
All right. A federal grand jury indicted Booker... What? Hold on.
Uh-oh.
Hold on.
Fiends Khalid done been confusedified. And yes, oh. I can hear myself spitting when I talk. I'm very juicy-mouthed. I'm like Puff Daddy. What up?
Skipped a paragraph.
Oh.
Meanwhile, so that was like the end of that story about all of this. His trial starts in October. I will try to remember. Meanwhile, a U.S. Customs and Border Protection Officer, Harvey Booker, faces allegations he strangled travelers on July 8th at San Diego's port of entry. A federal grand jury indicted Booker, age 70, and he was a supervisory inspector on suspicion of willfully depriving the victim of his constitutional right to be free from unreasonable force and unlawful assault by law enforcement. That's a lot of fucking words to say he choked a nigga out.
Yeah, let's do those words again.
Suspicion of willfully depriving the victim of his constitutional right to be free from unreasonable force and unlawful assault by law enforcement.
I fucking hate legalese. Is that what that is, or is that just a fucking journalist that just...
I'm pretty sure that's, like, the actual statute, so legalese.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
I remember there was some shit, back before I knew Elon James White was full coon, and I was playing his program, and it was, it's like a... In legalese in Louisiana, because their laws are influenced by France,
yeah,
it's like a type of rape. It wasn't aggravated, but it was some shit. It was that, remember that story about that football player that raped 3 women in 3 different states that we know of? And then he got, like, just a 3-year sentence, basically a year per victim?
Yes.
Yeah, and, like, one of the things, like, it was really weird, and, noted, Russian affiliate Imani Gandhi was kind of breaking it down with her background as a lawyer. Yeah, Imani's a Russian bot. I don't know if anyone knew that. Imani Gandhi is, she's a Ruski.
Ruski.
Yeah.
That's funny to me. All right. So this guy who started his job with the Border Patrol in 1994, I can't imagine how many people he's choked since 94, was placed on unpaid suspension. His next court appearance is September 7th. He was arrested at his home and later released on a $10,000 bond. They don't actually say he lost his job. They just say he's on unpaid suspension.
Unpaid suspension.
Well, I mean, at least it's not getting paid, I guess.
That we know of.
Ugh.
Yeah, we gotta start doing that with folks misgendering trans women, nigga, that we know of.
Alright, white on white crime?
Oh, shit. Jesus Christ.
Very young, juvenile white on white crime?
Gotta start early, man. Gotta get practice in.
Whew.
What, are you shitting me?
Whew.
Go for it. Am I doing this one? Or are you doing this one? Should I?
I don't know. Do you want to do it?
You want to do it? You want to do it? You put on your makeup-ins. Yeah.
All right. A young Victorian family has lost everything in a house fire after a 4-year-old boy lit a piece of paper on the stove. Mum and Dad were cooking dinner and the Narina way home in Epping last night when they stepped outside for a cigarette just after 10 p.m. Your kid's still up at 10? All right. Their young son used the kitchen stove to light a piece of paper on fire.
He's 4 years old. He wanted to see Lock Up Raw on MSNBC. That's like his favorite fucking show.
Shit. he carried the flaming paper to his bedroom, where it spread to a bedsheet and then the rest of the house. Neighbor Kevin Potter said the boy came running into his house in tears as the blaze engulfed the property. Once firefighters had made sure all 3 residents had made it out safely, they then had to wear breathing apparatus while attacking the blaze. Yeah, well, that's fucking kind of standard, yeah?
Really? Yeah, like, they reported that, like, how not often are fires happening out here that they have to explain that to their audience?
All right. The fire spread quickly throughout the roof cavity, and despite best efforts, the home was destroyed. Authorities have confirmed that no charges will be laid against the boy. Neighbors said the boy has previously tried to set the house on fire.
Yeah.
Okay. His mom said he's been trying to set the house on fire, one neighbor said. What the fuck? Who wrote this?
So you leave him alone?
Hold on, but wait, who wrote this? These are
what they say.
These two sentences are back to back. Neighbors say the boy has previously tried to set the house on fire. Quote, his mom said he's been trying to set the house on fire, one neighbor said. That's the same sentence.
Peggy Hill.
I have to hit my word count. What do I do?
That's what it was. It was fucking word count.
Okay, so the same sentence twice. Double entendre, double entendre.
Jews.
The mom was in a panic. She lost a lot of priceless memories. She kept saying to the boy, why did you do this? Why did you light the house on fire? We've lost everything.
Motherfucker, I'm four and it looked fun. Like, what are you fucking shitting me? I don't know. I remember when I was 4 years old, it was 1988, late spring, early summer, 1988. And my biological mother taught me not to touch the stove by turning the stove on, taking a paper towel, putting it up to the stove, and saying, that will be your hand if you touch the stove.
Mm-hmm.
It was very, she had an easy time teaching me things.
Yes.
I got it. Swift and quick.
Yes.
Yes, ma'am. What else is going on in this story?
Oh, that was the whole story.
That's the whole story.
But I'm still like, yeah, I'm kind of tripped out that he was literally trying to set the house on fire all week. Like, that, I don't know, that's weird to me. I understand kids like to play with fire, but, like, the way they're framing it is, like, he said he wants to set the house on fire? That's kind of fucking weird to me.
This nigga Amy Loco got funny jokes in the fucking, in the archive chat space, talking about, they were also exposed to water hoses while battling the fire. I see you shit-talking. And, other, comments in the archive chat space with Jay May and Amy Loco with them kids were born autistic, not easy to diagnose early. And Jay May said he has been shut the fuck up. Talking about Alex Jones, I think.
Yes.
Yeah, he's been shut the fuck up. Not at all. Like, he's back on iTunes.
He is back on iTunes.
Yeah.
And not by the left because slippery slopes and all that.
Yeah. Jimmy Dore's really on to something here.
Right. Yeah, okay.
You know.
Okay.
You gotta let the Nazis march in Skokie because Nazis marching in a Jewish neighborhood is not harassment and, frankly, terrorism.
It's can speech. I also just point out that not only... Okay, like, just for, like, historical clarification for people who are not familiar with Skokie, Skokie is not, or at the time, was not just a predominantly Jewish neighborhood and Nazis marched there. It was specifically a neighborhood of Holocaust survivors who literally survived the Nazis in Auschwitz and then came and moved to Skokie. And that's why the Nazis picked Skokie. Like, they didn't randomly pick Skokie. They picked Skokie specifically because it was the largest concentration in the Midwest of Holocaust survivors. Specifically. That's why Skokie is a big deal in this context.
Somehow James Dore left that out of his free speech rant. Yeah. I still give it up. He's a funny comedy guy.
Yeah.
And I've been listening to his program since, I think, like mid-2012 or so, late 2012. I've been playing this program. You know, he's lefty-headed. He talks about the corruption and whatnot. But on this Alex Jones getting banned shit...
He's wrong.
Yeah, he is all sorts of incorrectified. Failing, James.
And of
failing.
Course, and of course, didn't mention, like, the consequences of Alex Jones as far as, like, his fan base going out and doing things in the real world, you know, not online. Because, I mean, online as well as far as harassment and doxing, but doing stuff offline as well, right? Like, we covered the story about the woman who was sending death threats to parents of Sandy Hook. Like, everybody knows about the Pizzagate guy who showed up with the AR-15 and was, like, shooting in the pizzeria.
Yeah.
Like, pointing his gun at people and
shit. Wait, what, did he fire shots?
Yeah, he fired a shot in the pizzeria.
Fuck, I forgot about that.
Yeah. You know, like, that kind of shit. So it's like, there are actual consequences. This isn't just, like, a speech thing. He's obviously inciting action. Which... actually unintentionally just became a great segue to the last story. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So the last story is...
I didn't know there was another one.
Yeah. We only did two.
Fiends Collider. It'd be wild.
Yeah. about immigrants in Germany. So apparently they're now studying this, and it turns out that there is a link to violence against immigrants in Facebook algorithms. Oh, how about that?
Oh, and Tally Loco said, thank you for clarifying about why they were terrorized in Skokie.
Oh, yes.
Yeah, more context, right. Which I'm sure they're going to cover on the TYT network.
Of course, because, you know, that's the thing is, like, the Nazis were already in Chicago. Marquette Park, which is now on the south side, it's now a black neighborhood, but at the time, like, the 60s through the mid-80s, it was a white neighborhood, and Nazis were already there on a regular basis having fucking marches and shit like that. So, like, but these particular people are like, nah, let's fucking go to Skokie, because Holocaust survivors. So, yeah, like, there's, like, a lot of, like, geographical context or historical context, like, within that story.
I may not agree with what you say, but I'll fight for your right to say it! Go fuck yourself. Fuck that saying. And people always say, that used to be our standard in America. Who the fuck is our, nigga? And right. America is not a nation. America's not a community. It is not a citizenry. It is not a fucking neighborhood. It is not a homeowners association. America is a motherfucking giant corporate slave state of which to be a citizen is to be an employee. Even if you are a motherfucking homeless person, read as houseless. I said read. It's a podcast. Read as houseless person on the side of the road asking for change. Well, guess what? That's your job to be that stereotype out there asking for change. And I don't know how you're listening to this podcast, but I'm glad you found Wi-Fi, nigga. And that's your job. Everybody's forced to do a job. And that's why they criminalize being houseless, so that they can put you in prison and make you make helmets for military niggas to go out and blow shit up and make people homeless on the other side of an ocean.
Yes. Speaking of which, there is a prison strike going on. We're going to cover it. I just haven't put all the shit together yet. But it's like across 17 states. Like, it's some shit. Yeah, prison strike. Yeah. Matthew Sears on Twitter, I just like this tweet. He said, classical liberalism in 2018. I'll defend someone else's death for your right to say it. Yes. Okay. So, speaking of free speech and all that nonsense that somehow applies to you when you're on social media, this is an article that is based on a town in Germany. Where did the name go? Called Altena? I don't actually know how to say it.
Antifa.
They actually have a large population of immigrants there, particularly like Syrian refugees and refugees from Middle Eastern or Muslim countries. And I'm just going to... I clipped out this article because there's a lot of like editorializing and storytelling. I just kind of tried to get it down to a little bit more bare bones. So here we go.
Okay.
When you ask locals why Dirk Denkhaus, a young firefighter trainee who had been considered neither dangerous nor political, broke into the attic of a refugee group and tried to set it on fire, they'll list familiar issues. But they'll often mention another factor not typically associated with Germany's spate of anti-refugee violence. Facebook! Everyone here has seen Facebook rumors portraying refugees as a threat. They've encountered racist vitriol on local pages, a jarring contrast with Altena's public spaces where people wave warmly to refugee families. Many here suspected, and prosecutors would argue, that data seized from Denkhaus's phone isolated himself in a world of fear and anger that helped him lead to his offline violence. This may be more than speculation. Altena exemplifies a phenomenon long suspected by researchers who study Facebook, that the platform makes communities more prone to racial violence. And now the town is one of 3,000 in a data study that claims to prove it. Karsten Mueller and Carlo Schwarz, researchers at the University of Warwick, have scrutinized every anti-refugee attack in Germany, 3,335 in all in a two-year span. In each, they analyze the local community by any variable that seemed relevant. Wealth, demographics, support of far-right politics, newspaper sales, number of refugees, history of hate crimes, number of protests. One thing that stuck out, towns where Facebook use was higher than average reliably experienced more attacks on refugees. This has been held true in any community, big city or small town, affluent or struggling, liberal haven or far-right stronghold, suggesting the link applies universally. How about that? More Facebook can lead to more violence. I wonder why.
Get punched in the Facebook?
Get punched in the Facebook. Mm-hmm. When refugees first arrived in Altina, locals volunteered to help them, and Annette Westerman, who runs the Refuge Integration Center, said that she couldn't keep up. She'd find Syrian and Afghan families attended by entourages of self-appointed German tutors and life coaches. It was really moving, she said. But when Westman set up a Facebook page to organize food drives and volunteer events, it was immediately filled with anti-refugee vitriol of a sort she hadn't encountered offline. Posts came from outsiders joined by a small handful of locals, but over time their anger proved infectious. Such links would be indirect, reachers say, but begin with the algorithm that determines each user's news feed. The Facebook algorithm is built around a core mission: promote content that will maximize user engagement. Posts that tap into negative primal emotions like anger or fear perform best and so proliferate. This is how anti-refugee sentiment, which combines fear of social change with an us versus them, two powerful forces on the algorithm, can seem unusually common on Facebook even in pro-refugee towns. But even if only a minority of users express vehemence towards refugees, once they dominate the news feed, it has consequences for everyone else. Holy shit, speech has consequences, William. Did you know that?
Ain't speech, it's marching.
Right.
They're marching on Facebook.
Right.
That's all.
Mm-hmm.
That's why they call it Facebook. You mm-hmm. get curb stomped.
Right.
Watch out.
People instinctively conform their communities to their community social norms, which are normally a break on bad behavior. This requires thinking what people around us believe, something we do through subconscious and social cues, according to researchers. But Facebook scrambles this process. It isolates us from moderating voices or authority figures and puts us into like-minded groups, echo chambers, through its algorithm and promotes content that engages us based on our emotions. Facebook users in Altina might reasonably but wrongly conclude their neighbors are also incredibly hostile to refugees. Yeah. Uh-huh. In his office, Gerhard Pauli, the prosecutor, flipped the printouts that they found on Denkhaus's phone. Denkhaus messaged near constantly with friends to share articles and memes disparaging foreigners. At first, they trafficked in provocations, ironically addressing each other as Mein Führer. But over time, they lost sight of the line of trolling and moved into sincere hate. Heavy social media users refer to this effect as irony poisoning. One day, he said to his partner, "We have to do something." And that's when Denkhaus and a friend doused the attic of a refugee house and set fire to it. Denkhaus had little opportunity to encounter anti-refugee hatred in the real town, where the overwhelmingly tolerant social norms prevailed. But in his Facebook echo chamber, he could drift unchecked towards extremism. Huh. Though Altina's residents condemned Denkhaus, his was not the only act of violence. Last year, the mayor was stabbed by a man outraged by pro-refugee policies. How about that? Mr. Pauli suspected a social media link. Local Facebook pages were filled with hateful comments towards the mayor the day before the attack.
Hey.
I feel like slightly vindicated because we've been saying this and saying this about Alex Jones and people are just not, you know.
They don't give a damn. We're a little podcast. We're so fucking small. Like, when I look up and I'm like, fuck, 5,000 downloads? How the fuck did we do that? Like, when it hits in like one day. Because, like, on average, like, we were up to around 1,000 a day, and it's dropped down to, like, 700, sometimes dips into 500. So, yeah, like, when it's, like, 5,000, I'm like, holy shit.
What did we do?
Yeah, while other people are like, I got 300,000.
Yeah, that's not us.
No.
And then they interviewed Rolf Wasserman, who is an artist who lives in a conservative area but doesn't consider himself an extremist, but he's furiously active on Facebook. He constantly posts rumors, conspiracy theories, and opinion columns about crimes committed by refugees. Though none crosses into hate speech or technically fake news, they portray Germany as beset by dangerous foreigners. Sounds like Alex Jones. On Facebook, it's possible to reach people who are not highly political to bring information to them, according to Wasserman. You can build people's political views on Facebook. Yeah. Super posters tend to be more opinionated, more extreme, more engaged, more everything, says Andrew Guess, a Princeton University social scientist.
I think it said super posters?
Yes, people who are constantly posting, that's what they're called.
Do they have a number where you go from regular to super? Like, what, do they have that in the article?
They did not specify a number. But they were referring to super posters as people who, because they post so much, their ideas automatically get more traction just because there's so much more that can be in your algorithm at any time. So they're just automatically seen more because they put up more content.
So I need to do more virtue signaling.
Kinda, yeah.
Which are two things that I totally do and have done a lot since I've been on the internet, and I didn't even know that these were things that people that follow my content hate. Like, well, I virtue signal as fuck, and as a hip-hopper, I am a total edgelord.
But I don't think you, like, virtue signal in the sense that, like, you're not doing it for gratification. You're not doing it, like, for people, because a lot of people do it like, look at me and I'm on it, I'm using the lingo, I'm the good, like, SJW. Like, you do it just because you think it's the right thing to do. And that's like a huge distinction.
Nah!
You don't actually care if people like you, William.
Well, no, because they're, I don't like them. But fucking, but nah, I think I probably do it. And then sometimes, like, one time I did it totally on accident, I did not know that there was a story of, like, a cis woman Hotep that said some transphobic shit. And me, I'm always talking about transphobia.
Right.
So I just happened to make a post saying, debating the existence of trans women is why they're being murdered. And I just happened to make that post while that was happening. And
yes.
I'm like, why do I have 10,000 shares? What happened?
Right. Algorithms is what happens.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm just virtue signaling. I do that. I'm a virtue signaling edgelord simultaneously. Mm-hmm. Put that in your cognitive dissonance and smoke it.
Nice. But according to Guess, when casual users open Facebook, what they see is a world shaped by super posters like Wasserman. Their exaggerated worldviews play well on the algorithm, allowing them to collectively and often unknowingly dominate news feeds. Facebook's algorithm is engineered to maximize the amount of time spent on the site. It elevates the class of super posters like Wasserman, who in the aggregate give readers an impression that social norms are more hostile to refugees and distrustful of authority than they really are. Even if no one endorses violence directly, it feels more justifiable. So yeah, that's the same shit that we've been saying about Alex Jones, really about the right wing in general, is that, like, you can't let Nazis march, you can't let them, because it's not, I hate this fucking, like, just debate them in the free market of ideas. No, because someone's always buying what they're selling. Like, we can't have the debate. Once you say that it's worth having a debate, that means that genocide is actually an option that needs to be discussed. Or, yeah.
And they don't want to debate. They just want to get their talking points off.
Right.
They don't give a shit about facts. Like, that's the thing. To come to them with a debate, you got to bring, like, fucking Encyclopedia Brown. Encyclopedia Britannica, I think it was.
Yes.
Those commercials with that guy with the glasses.
I don't know about the commercials, but yeah.
Yeah, you gotta bring all that shit. Like, all that, it needs to be, to debate them, you have to have, their microphone needs to be able to be shut off by the moderator, or else they'll gish gallop.
Right.
And it has to be allowed to be 5 hours, because you have to debunk everything in every gish gallop they do,
right?
Because that's all they do,
right?
It's called bad faith actors.
Yes.
They don't actually give a shit. They don't care. They don't want to debate. They want to kill, steal, and destroy. And when I was forced to attend Pentecostal church, I was taught that that was the devil. And when my mother took me to see Malcolm X in 1992, he said the white man is the devil. Put them together.
No, but yeah, I hate that, like, you can just debate. No, you can't. Like, we've literally been here with Nazis. We had an entire world war about it. We've seen the Holocaust, you know, we've seen the pictures, we've seen the survivors, and they're, like, still, like, they're still Nazis now. So no, you can't fucking debate it away. You can't rationalize and, like, but this is a better idea, you guys, because they want to be Nazis. They want to be violent.
Nazis were so bad that as white people, white American men wanted to kill them. That's how bad Nazis were.
Well, I mean,
those were white lives that didn't matter.
You know, yeah. But they were killing other white people. Like, what do you do when white people kill other white people and then, like, you're the third party white person? Like, you have to pick one side.
Oh, fuck.
Like, right? Because
that was the original All Lives Matter crowd?
It was the original All Lives Matter crowd.
So that was really a protest war.
Because remember, like, it was Germany and Italy working together, but they were, like, fucking up, like, the UK and France and Spain and like, everything else in Europe.
Was that nigga Mussolini fucking with that shit?
That, yeah, that was the Italian guy who
that was,
yeah.
Okay. I don't know a lot of things. To me, Mussolini is a rapper that rolled with Tupac. Like, that's dead up. Because he named all his niggas after niggas like that. Mussolini, Idi Amin, and shit like that. Mm-hmm. All right. So,
yeah.
This is what happens when Phoenix Collider does all the show notes.
This is what happens. I go down a rabbit hole and I do nerdy shit. But, so anyways, now I feel, like, vindicated because everything I've been saying about Alex Jones is now being validated over various studies that saying, hey, Facebook algorithms actually can cause people to be violent. So here the fuck we are. I wasn't being paranoid.
I like that Jay May is a hardcore button clicker. Because it shows Jay May's profile picture pop up, and then they turn into fucking smiley faces, hearts, thumbs up, shocked face, laughing, every damn thing.
Everything. It's an emotional roller coaster being on this show.
It probably is. I remember there was a very, very white trans woman that used to tune into the program. I don't know where that nigga's at now. Nigga's non-binary. I don't know where that nigga's at now, but like we were doing an episode, like when we got to the end, they were like, damn, in 2 hours, you made me think, laugh, learn, and cry all at the same time.
It's a gift.
That's probably mostly Phoenix. While, as you've heard on this podcast, I just, I'm like, where can I kind of double dutch in for the tangent. Like, I'm just trying to double dutch in. Just let me tangent, man. Let me tangent.
Okay.
Yeah. This beat right here, this is a Tacoma original. This is made by Davion. That's a Davion beat right there. Davion used to make me some fresh beats. That shit was dope. All right. So, there you have it. White on White Crime, White on White Wednesday, WineCellarMedia.com. That website is a hub of our media. Like, the Facebook pages are, they're widgeted in widgets.
Yes,
in widgets. There. And, you know, like, our shit that we do, it's all on there. PayPal.me/PhoenixAndWilliam. PayPal.me/PhoenixAndWilliam. Make sure you spell it all right if you do it, because there's somebody that heard our shit and they made a PayPal and switched a letter around. So if someone makes a mistake in typing that in, they get what you were trying to send to us.
Yeah.
Some slick motherfucker did that shit.
Yeah.
Yeah. Probably that nigga Busybone. There's somebody that is, funny style around us that we call Busybone. Wake up. That nigga's funny style, cuz.
Yeah.
And patreon.com/WineCellarMediaFund.
Yes.
And again, like, why do we do that? Cause we're poor. That's the one factor.
That's a factor.
And then also, like, this is entertainment. That was why when I was tinkering, like, I didn't really know what to do with it. Is it Wine Cellar Media or Wine Cellar Entertainment? Mm-hmm. And it's, you know what? It's media because we do more than just entertainment.
Right.
You know, infotainment, if you will.
Yes.
But, like, yeah, like, we want to hold your attention because we're fucking charismatic and funny and shit.
Yeah, and we're trying to inform you.
Yeah, so, like, we're literally trying to sell you an entertainment product that just happens you may ideologically agree with here and there, or disagree with, and you still think it's funny. All right? And then also, I signed on to a couple of leftist niggas' Patreons, so, like, when you hit up our Patreon, a portion of that is going to a other leftist niggas' Patreon.
Right.
And then I found this one nigga that is a black cartoonist, and, homie doesn't have a Patreon yet, but I told him, set one up. We'll be your first subscribers. So also through us, you'll be supporting that black cartoonist. and leftist cartoonist at that. And some of you, Duke is on the Facebooks, and we might have mutuals. I just interacted with that fool like 36 hours ago.
Yeah.
So it's very new. But, you know, so we're going to hit that nigga up, and through us, you'll hit that nigga up, or you find him, hit him up. And, yeah, man, just... Niggas is poor. It's a couple extra bucks. I'm like, yeah, the wine's...
I
mean, what up?
I was like, this is also actual work, man. Like, it's fucking work. It is.
Yeah.
Right? You're kind of like, all right, I gotta fucking find the news stories, read the news stories, figure out who has the best take. Do you have to read 3 or 4 versions of it to get the best take? Like, oh, shit. I'm still tired of that fucking Russia domestic violence story. Remember that shit? We had to read it from, like, 6 different outlets to get
that
the whole story?
That late 2016, I think. Ooh. We did that one.
Whew,
yeah, I think it was like November 2016. And yeah, 3 different articles to get the full story.
Right.
Because every article had their own lean to it. I think one of them was rightwingwatch.org.
Yeah.
And they only cover the homophobic side of it.
Right.
And then another outlet only covers the right-wing side. Right. And another article only covers the, but it's hurting our precious children, babies.
Right, yeah. So I was like, and then I had to like translate some shit from Russian. I was like in fucking like... Google Translator, and I'm like, does anyone speak Russian, like, on Twitter? Like, does this make sense? And fucking, ugh.
Hey, you know you speak some Russian. Nigga, Phoenix knows, like, 8,000 languages. She'd be tripping me out. She'd be like, that's French. And I'm like, nigga, I don't know. She speaks Yiddish very often. Phoenix Leader and Katie Halper talk Yiddish about me behind my back to my face at the same time. Katie Halper, Phoenix Leader, speaking Yiddish. Talking shit about me.
Maybe you deserve it.
Maybe. But it ain't fair, because I can't battle rap back to that if I don't understand what you're saying. This episode is kaputs. Facebook Live out. Good day. Podcast audio out. Good day to you.